tonight. And as you're turning there, I'll just go ahead and start and open up with prayer. Father, I thank you that the word that you have delivered, Father, to my heart would just speak to the individuals that are here this evening. And Father, whether it be something that they're going through right now or something that they could use at a future time in their life, I thank you that your word is never changing. I thank you that the promises that you give us, Father, are never changing, and they're true today, they're true tomorrow, and they'll be true for the rest of our lives. And I thank you that you give us that standard that we can stand on and that we can live on and live through, Father, your word, because we know it is true, we know it is trustworthy, and we know that if you promised something in your word, we know that we have it. And I just thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you guys are in Acts chapter 5, we're actually just going to start with verse 1. We're going to go through verse 11. I know a lot of people you guys probably are familiar with this passage. But I'll go ahead and start reading it. Tonight I'm reading from the New King James Version. And it starts out saying, "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, 'Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God.' Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, 'Tell me whether you sold the land for so much.' She said, 'Yes, for so much.' Then Peter said to her, 'How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out.' Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things." Now, I'm not reading this passage to talk about tithes and offerings tonight. I don't want you guys to get the idea that if you don't bring a tithe into the storehouse, you're going to drop down dead. But what I do want to talk to you about tonight is something that I really feel has been pressing not only on me, but obviously is a great tool of the devil, is fear. And fear, in many different ways, you can look at it as being a response, you know, in terror or any kind of just something that gets you worried or anxious about something. Or you can also look at fear in another aspect that means basically respect. And when I was looking through here, basically when in a lot of these different verses, I'll try to relay it to you guys as much as I can. But usually when they're talking about the fear of God, they're talking about reverent fear in God's presence. You know, talking about a respect that they have for God. And in a couple cases where they use the word fear, when referring to men, it means the same thing as people saying, you know, being respectful of men. But one thing that obviously has been going on right now and has been going on for a long time is that Satan uses fear to make every single one of us try to worry and doubt the Word of God. He tries to get us to doubt things by saying, well, you're going to die. And, you know, there's different people that, you know, no matter what comes their way, everything that they hear about strikes fear in their life. Everything, whether it's a thunderstorm that's coming their way, or whether it's the flu season that happens, or anything like that, they get so fearful and so animated about it that they give that thing more glory and more respect in their life, that they fear it so much, they give that more glory and respect than they do the Word of God that says that they're already healed, that says that, you know, they're going to be completely delivered from any kind of worry or anxiety or troubles that they come across in this place. And in this story specifically, Ananias and Sapphira were basically wanting the respect of men. You know, they were desiring to have glory given to them by men, not by God. And that's why Peter is pointing out here, he was in verse 4, it says, "While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God." Because sometimes people will take this and they'll say, "See, God just wants your money. You know, he doesn't want you to have anything. You know, he wants you to give every last penny to him." And they try to twist it into these different things. But basically, in this scenario, they were bringing this amount of money, saying that they sold this piece of land and this was everything. This was everything that they got. And they were laying it at the feet of Peter, basically so that everybody in the congregation or everybody that was present would be like, "Wow, these people are giving everything that they got for this land or everything they got for this possession." They wanted the praise of those people more than they wanted the praise of God, because they could have just come up and said this was just a portion of what we sold it for, because it probably was still going to be a great offering. It still could have been used, but they wanted to be known as somebody that gave everything to the church. Basically, they considered the praise of men greater than doing something in secret and getting the praise of God. You know, they were looking at it saying, "Well, if I bring this offering, somebody, they're going to sit there and say, I'm such a great person. They're going to think these things, think great things about me. Now they're an example to everybody else. Don't lie to the Holy Spirit. Don't try to get the praise of men over the praise of God. Don't seek after those things. Don't fear men to the point that you respect their opinion and you respect their word more than you respect God's." You know? So we try to get that point across, and that's what, because today it doesn't matter what conversation or what person I talk to, it seems like you get a lot of people every day that come across your path that they're so fearful about anything and everything. There's something in their life that they're afraid of. Whether it be swine flu, whether it be anything else, they're afraid of something. Yeah, exactly. They're afraid of flying pigs. They're afraid of a lot of different things. I mean, people are afraid of a lot of stuff. And the reason why I bring this up is because sometimes you can see it not only here, but you can see it out in the public, is that people have lost that fear of God. They have lost that respect of God, the respect of not only what he did and he accomplished for us, but they have lost the respect of, you know, considering him or esteeming him to the proper place in their life. You know, no longer is Jesus known in the majority of people's lives as Lord. He's known as just the way you get to heaven. You know, if you say a prayer, you can get to heaven. They don't think about the fact that God asks us, you know, what is our, you know, good and reasonable service is to offer our lives, our bodies as a living sacrifice. That means submitting everything that is going on in our lives, we turn it over to him and we say, "I want to do your will," and that's it. Not my will, I want to do your will. That's what it means to be a living sacrifice, is to turn every single thing and every single opportunity in your life over to him. Because when you do that, he said that he'll take care of every other thing. Now, if you turn to Matthew chapter 10, Jesus actually speaks about being afraid of men and being, you know, caring about what they think over what God thinks. So Matthew chapter 10, we're going to start in verse 27. And this is Jesus speaking here. And in verse 27, it says, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops." If that doesn't shout that we need to be bold about sharing the gospel with people, I don't know what does. I mean, he tells you, a lot of people probably think we're crazy if we got up on housetops and started shouting about Jesus. But he tells us to basically just be bold in his word here. He says, whatever I tell you in the dark, so the things that he reveals to you, he says, speak in the light. Share that with other people. And it says, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both body, or both soul and body, in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. You know, he's saying, don't seek after and don't fear the rejection of men. Don't fear the persecution of men. Because, I mean, obviously in this time, he's telling them that because they're going to go through a great period of being completely persecuted beyond any one of our imaginations. They encountered more persecution than just getting snubbed on the street like we do. But yet they were more bold in that. They were more bold in preaching the gospel. And for a number of different reasons, I personally think one of the many reasons why they were more bold was not because they walked with Jesus. That might have played a little bit of a role, but there is no reason why any one of us can't know God in the same manner and in the same type of a relationship now that the disciples had back then. There's no reason why we can't have that relationship. So that to use that as a crutch, basically, to say that, well, I don't have the same relationship with God, well, that's our doing, not his. Because he said that he has let us come into the Holy of Holies because of Jesus' sacrifice. Because of him, we have access, and he said to come boldly before the throne of grace. Not timidly, come boldly before the throne of grace. And that's why he tells us not only with that, but he tells us to go heal the sick. You can't go heal the sick if you're timid. You know, when you talk about different things in the book of Acts and different stories about the disciples, just looking at somebody, they could tell, and they said, you know, just get up. Get up and walk, you know. I don't have any money to give you, but what I do have, I'll give to you. And that's the power of God that we have in our life. You guys might not have money to give somebody, but you can pray for them. You can do something to bless and impart something from the gift that God has given you into their lives. But as this is saying, it says in verse 28, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, I'm not trying to tell you to be so fearful of going to hell or anything. But the point is that it's still being made from back like we had in Acts 5. Don't fear and respect men to the point that they hold you back from accomplishing what God has called you to do in your life. Don't let somebody else hold you back because you're so fearful of being rejected, so fearful of having somebody, you know, speak ill of you in your life. And I mean, the reason why he tells us this, and he goes on here in verse 29, says, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will, but the very hairs on your head are all numbered. I want you guys to think about that for a minute. And the only reason why I tell you to think about it is think about also at the same time somebody that you care for deeply. When you care for somebody so deeply, you will try to learn everything about that person to the point where you know what makes them tick, you know what makes them happy, you know what makes them sad, you know everything about them so that you can have a loving and great relationship with that person. If you don't spend any time, you don't get to know that person, you're not going to have a very deep relationship with them. And when he's telling us here, he says that God has already numbered every single hair upon your head. You know, I know sometimes you can count the ones that fall out, or you can count the ones that turn gray, or things like that, but he has every single hair on your head numbered. He knows that much, that many intricate details about your life, he knows. And in verse 31 it says, do not fear, therefore, because God cares about you so much that he has all of your hairs numbered. He knows everything about you. He goes, you are of more value than many sparrows. You guys, we sometimes don't get the fact that God loves us to a degree that I don't even think we can comprehend. He loves us to a degree that He knows not only every single aspect for us or about our lives, but He went to depths, to great lengths to come to this earth to rescue us so that we could have relationship with Him. You know, not everybody had that revelation, and the bad thing is that not everybody in this world now has that revelation either. Sometimes Christians don't seem to pick it up either. They don't seem to understand how much God cares for them. And it's unfortunate because God cares for them so deeply that He wants to bless them with so many things that He's already told them about in the Word of God, but they don't get into it. You know, they just accept whatever is being taught to them. They don't try to get to know Jesus or get to know God on their own. And they don't try to share God with other people because they're fearful of those people. They're fearful of other people's opinions in their lives. Turn to Proverbs 29 real quick. And as we go to Proverbs 29, I just want to share something that's been on my heart for a while. Is that, and in no way do I want you guys to think that this is me wanting to be legalistic about anything, but for the longest time when I was a kid, it's weird because you can see exactly how things have changed from when I was a kid to where the things are now. When I was a kid in church, not just me, but my parents were the same way, but it was, you know, when it was praise and worship time, you were on your feet, you were participating, you were involved, you were focused. When it was time for praying, anytime somebody came up for prayer, if the pastor said, you know, reach out your hand, I mean, everybody was up on it. Everybody was there. I mean, it was just like there was that respect for the fact that when we were praying for somebody, we all wanted God to manifest Himself right at that moment and heal that person. Now you look at some charismatic churches and you get this where you're like, you know, reach your hands forward and start praying for this person, or they'll ask somebody to come up and pray, or and they'll just be like, everybody will shrink back. And be like, well, why do I want to do that? Or you'll have half the people being like, and then about 10 seconds into it, they put their hand down, and then they just sit there kind of like, is this pastor's prayer going to go on forever? I mean, and they lose the reason why they're doing that, you know? And it's the reason why we lay hands on people is by impartation. I mean, we impart things to people by the laying on of hands. And at the same time, when we come together as a whole to pray for other people, there should be not only, I don't want to say like a fearful thing of God, but we should have such a respect of God that we know and that we understand that this means business. That we respect prayer so much that when we pray for people, we are focused together in prayer for those people. We are focused in attention to that. Why? Not because we want to say, you know, I focus during prayer or anything, but it is for us to know and for all of us to press in together for the common goal. When we do something in one accord, there's so much more to it. You know, that's why I said, you know, one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000. So you see that multiplier effect that happens when we get more people focused on what God wants and what God wants to happen in that place. And you start getting more and more people involved in the Word of God and more people just focused and not fearing what everybody else thinks about them, but says, this is what the Bible says, this is what I'm going for. And that's where we need to be. We need to have that place to where whatever the Bible says is first and foremost, and what everybody else says is nothing. Not that you can't respect other people and let them have their opinions, but when it comes to what is valuable in your mind, when it comes time to what is going to rule the day in your house, it's going to be the Word of God, not your personal feelings, not what somebody else might think about you or anything like that. We need to have that fear, that respect for the Word of God that we know this is true, everything else is a lie. Anything that comes contrary to the Word of God, there should be nothing in us that fears that. Because the Word of God is true. The Word of God is what we should have in our hearts. And in verse 25 of chapter 29 in Proverbs, it says, The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. I like that because the fear of man, and this is where you can look at the different definitions of fear. What this is saying is that the fear of man, or the anxiety or care of man, when you start to worry about the things of man, so like in our present day economy, if we start worrying about the economy, we start worrying about these different things, you know, that other people are worrying about, it brings a snare, it brings a trap into our life that we fall into. It's Satan just setting us up to be anxious about things, to be worrying about things. Why? Because anytime he can get us to worry about something or fear something, he gets our mind off of the kingdom of God. He gets our mind off of focusing on what the Word of God is. And when you look into the, and you know, when you look back in the story with Adam and Eve, he was deceptive, you know? And there's a reason why later the snake is, you know, the snake is called the craftiest animal. I mean, the snake, he used the snake because he wanted to be conniving, and he challenged the Word of God first and foremost. He said, did he really say that? You know, did he really say that? And I want you guys to think about that, because when you get sick, you start thinking, well, did he really mean that I'm healed? He starts getting you to challenge it, and he starts saying, does he really mean that I'm delivered from this addiction? Did he really mean that I, you know, that I get all these things in Christ? And then you start doubting it. You start being fearful of all these different things, and you start respecting something other than the Word of God. Satan does it in such a small way that he just challenges our belief in the Word of God, and he gets us to completely believe a distorted truth. He starts with things very small because he just wants us to get us away from that. But as this says, it says, the fear of man brings a snare. When we start worrying about the cares of man, we go right into Satan's trap. But go on here and it says, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. When you trust in the Lord, you shall be safe. When he is your trust, you shall be safe. Why can we say that when it comes to the economy? Because God promises in his word that we sow and we reap. Okay? So if you're sowing into the word of, if you're sowing into the kingdom of God, he promised in his word, which says that it'll, you know, it's forever established. You know, it reigns forever. God's word is always true. And he says that when you sow, you will reap. When you sow into his kingdom, he said that he will not owe anyone anything. And if you sow into his kingdom, he has promised that he will bring you out. And it says, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. The word Lord here is very significant because whoever trusts in the Lord, whoever trusts in the one person that should be Lord over your life, when you trust him and him alone, you shall be safe. He promises these things right here in his word, that we will be safe if we trust in him. Go to Psalm 19. And in verse 9. And it says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. That's what I want you to see there. And it's talking about, and in this case, just like we had talked about before, when he's talking about the fear of the Lord, it's talking about reverence for the Lord. When you put him in its proper place, the fear of the Lord is clean, which means there's not going to be anything else attached to it. When you fear the Lord, everything else will be taken care of. Everything else will be taken care of. And it goes on saying, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. One thing that's great about the truth is that it never stops being the truth. Amen? So the fact is that if this is the truth, if his judgments, if the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether, then that means that they're going to be true tomorrow. They're going to be true the next day. God's word is always true. And we turn to Psalm 111. And this one says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. Once again, the fear or the respect of God, when God is in its proper place, it helps you and it puts you in the proper place to be able to understand a lot of different things. When God is in His proper place, when He has been given proper esteem, proper respect in the place of your life, when He is Lord over your life, He can reveal other things to you. It's kind of hard to reveal truth when when you don't even respect it as being the truth, you know? But when you respect God's word, when you respect Him, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Not that it is all wisdom, but the fear of the Lord is where it starts. When you are reverent and you appreciate, you put Him in the proper and the proper place of your life, it's the beginning of wisdom. One thing that I like to do sometimes when I see comments like this is flip it around on the other side and just thinking about the fear of Satan is the beginning of ignorance. You know, when you start believing or fearing or respecting Satan's opinion over the Word of God, just like it said, and I believe in chapter 29, verse 25, the fear of man is a snare. So when you start to believe and you start to fear Satan and his work, which his work is anything that comes against you to try to steal, kill, and destroy from you. Anything that comes against you to do those things in your life is Satan trying to get at you. And when you start fearing those things and putting those things as being true instead of the Word of God, then you are starting to believe his lies and you're starting to go down a path of ignorance. Because God's Word is forever true, and when we start to believe Satan, then we are just going to take ourselves down a bad path. The second part of this verse says, a good understanding have all those who do His commandments. To me, this is what has been spoken to me on this was, a good understanding have all those who do His commandments. When you put God in its proper place, when you start doing what He has called you to do in your life, then a proper understanding starts to come to you about other things in the Word of God. When you start to do these things, you learn things by doing. You know, you start to learn things. When you start to put things into practice, it's a lot easier to keep them coming back into your memory. So like when you do things in school, if the teacher just read over something and you never practiced it, you're never going to get that into your mind. You're never going to get that into your memory so where you can remember it later on for use. So then when we go through these things, when we start to do the commandment, when we start to do what God has called us to do and we start to live His word instead of just reading about it, when we start to put these things to practice, we start getting a greater understanding and a greater revelation of His wisdom because we're starting to put God in His proper perspective in our life. When He is our Lord, when He is our Savior, He will take care of everything inside of our lives. So we will start to understand the things of God when we start to take action doing these things. The one thing that I wanted to bring out is the fact that I don't want you guys to confuse the word awe or respect in a way that makes you think that you have to, you know, come in here, take your shoes off or anything like that. I mean, it is just putting God in its proper place in your life. You know, fearing God and revering Him and giving Him that proper place is one thing. One thing that I also wanted to point out is the fact that sometimes, I know that we do it here sometimes too, is that when we have a gift or a speaking tongue is given and that word is interpreted Sometimes I wonder if people really understand what is going on at that point. And the reason why I say that is because sometimes people are just kind of like, oh, it's just them doing something else again. I mean, just somebody speaking in weird, you know, weird language, and, you know, Dan's talking, I'm reading something, or, I mean, they start to get this in their minds that it's no big deal. It is a huge deal when you start to really think about it. Because God has given these gifts in the Spirit so that we can have more of His revelation. So we can have more exhortation, something that will encourage us, something that will build us up. And it says that these are, you know, that these are signs to unbelievers, because when unbelievers come in here, if they see something like that take place, that word will be an encouragement to their ears. That word will stir something up inside of their hearts. And sometimes when you see it so often, sometimes we get in our mind that it's no big deal. This is God speaking to every single one of us when that happens. When the Word of God is open to us up here, whether it be on Sunday or Wednesday, when the Word of God is revealed to you through a message, that is a huge deal. That is God trying to reveal and plant seeds into your life through His vessels. God's trying to plant things into your life because He wants you to have, He wants you to not only have a relationship with Him, but have the power that He desires for you to have. He wants you to be able to go out and share His message. He wants you to go out and to heal the sick. He wants you to do these things. But we should never think of God moving and the Spirit of God moving in a way to where in our minds we think it's no big deal. Because we should expect supernatural things to happen. We should expect those things to happen on a regular basis. Not be surprised when God shows up. You know, we've seen it here and other, I bet you if you go to other denominations or other churches and you had somebody that had a back problem and they came up here and got prayed for, and one of their legs got adjusted and came out to be in the proper length, people would be just bewildered by what just took place. Here it has happened often enough, and not to say that I want it to stop happening, please don't take that for what I'm saying, but sometimes we see it often enough that sometimes people just think it's no big deal. God moving in your life is a huge deal. God moving in our services is a huge deal. That's why when these things happen, we should be praising God. We should be loving God, because that is just Him extending it back to us. That is Him just showing us how much He loves us by revealing more and more to us. Let's go to 2 Timothy real quick. And in 2 Timothy, we're just going to be in chapter 1, so as soon as you find 2 Timothy, you'll be there. Obviously, the kids are having a good time. And that's good. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll go... we'll just do verse 7. And it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." The word fear in this sense, I don't know if it's King James or what other translation it is, but it talks about a spirit of timidity. You know, a spirit of basically shrinking back. You know, God stirs us up with His word and with other things, but one thing that God has not given you is a spirit of timidity. And if something is causing you to be timid, whether it be other people that you're surrounded by, that is you submitting to Satan at that point. Because God doesn't give you a spirit of being timid about sharing the things of God. When it comes time to share the Word of God, there should be a boldness that just rises up with inside you. Because God has not given you a spirit of shying back. If he gave the disciples a spirit of fear or a spirit of timidity, they would have never gotten their message across when they had stones being thrown at them. But instead, in the face of death, they spoke up. In the face of death, they spoke boldly because they knew that God was right there with them. They knew that Jesus was with them. They knew that Jesus gave them power to do what he had called them to do. But God said, you know, when you are in those situations, don't worry about what you're going to speak. I'll give you the words, you know. And it's the same thing goes for us. When we're in those situations, don't sit there and start thinking about, okay, well, I'll say this first and then I'll say this next. Just follow the leading of the Lord. Let Him lead you. Too often we overthink so many different things that we completely lose letting God reign in that situation. We start thinking about it. We start, well, what are they going to do? Well, how will I approach this in a way that might not offend them? How will I do this? Just follow the leading of the Lord. And I know that's tough to say sometimes because I know in my situation before, I'm like, well, how do I do that? I tell you, it gets easier and easier every time you do it. Every time that you step out in faith, you might at first stumble a little bit, but I tell you, every time that you keep reaching out and you start sharing God's word with other people, there will be one of those just boldness take over that when it comes time, you will share it. I'll tell you this morning, it was one of those things where usually at work, you try not to be too pushy with people, but there is a lady I work with, she brought up, she was talking about how last night they were watching the news and watching something about Patrick Swayze and the pancreatic cancer, and she was getting all worried about it. So, you know, oh man, these things just get me all worried. You're thinking about cancer, you think about anything else. One of my neighbors has cancer, and she just starts looking pale, you know, and all this kind of stuff. She's starting to look weak, and she's like, it's just so, you know, it's so disturbing and just makes me afraid of it. And she says she believes in God. And so I was like, well, that's not how it's supposed to be. I said, you are not supposed to be fearful of these things. Not supposed to be fearful of pancreatic cancer. Not supposed to be fearful of any cancer, of any flu, of any cold, of anything. We're not supposed to be fearful of these things. I said, I told her, I said, in any scenario, you look in the Bible and you look in where Jesus was walking through towns, he healed everybody that was sick. He said that he healed all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. I mean, and in some places it was like he couldn't do many mighty works, but he healed them, you know? And it's one of those things. So healing, in God's mind, as it was revealed in here, to him, healing's no big deal. Why? Because it was taken care of on the cross. Every single one of those things was taken care of on the cross to the point that it was like you don't have to be fearful of these things because if something comes on you, or tries to implant in your body, you don't have to be fearful of it because Jesus already paid the price for it. And at that point, I shared with her. I said, you know, a gentleman that came to our church not 3 weeks ago had cancer. He had gone up to the clinic, you know, everything. They said, you know, it looks like it's, you know, we might be able to operate or something like that. I said, and then he came back and they said, you know, Joe, this thing has exploded. It is everywhere. It's inoperable. We can give you some drugs that might contain the growth, but it won't do anything else. So he goes home, and what does he do? He looks to the scripture. He looks to the word of God and prays the prayer of faith, thinking, God, I know that you've healed me. I know that you've taken care of it on the cross. And then the next time he goes up there, they said, you know, we have no idea what just happened because there is nothing in the history of the Mayo Clinic that has seen this take place. The cancer is nowhere to be found. And it's kind of like when you think about that, you know that God cared about Joe enough to come and die for him so that not only can he have a relationship with him, but when somebody tries to speak condemnation and tries to speak death over his life, And Satan tries to implant cancer and tries to implant things into people's life. He's already dealt with it. And he'll wipe it away if we will only put this first. Because if Joe didn't put this first, if he would have said, oh, the doctor said I'm going to die, and if he would have accepted that, he would have died. But he didn't want to accept it because he knew that there were greater promises in the Word of God that stood the test of time and that were over the word of the doctors, that were over the word of this world, that was over these things. Don't fear man. Don't fear anything that has to do with Satan. Don't fear those things because God has not given you that spirit. He's not given you a spirit of timidity when anything like that. And, you know, and I could go on even longer about, you know, the conversation. But, I mean, it was one of those things where she's like, I believe things happen for a reason. No, there's two different polar opposites taking place here. You got the enemy that wants to kill you and destroy you. And you got God that wants to save you and give you life and give it more abundantly. Can't be more clear than that. Something that comes to destroy you is not of God. So if something's coming to destroy you, that is not God. So don't accept it as being God. Don't say, well, God put this on me to teach me a lesson. If God was putting something on you to teach you a lesson, why in the world are you going to a doctor to try to get well? Let God teach you a lesson if he wanted to teach you a lesson. Because if God gave you the cold, you might as well stay there because going to the doctor is not going to do any good. No matter what the doctor prescribes you, God's going to win out every single time. But it's crazy because people think that. They think that it's God's will for them to be sick, and then they go and try to get well. Well, if it's God's will, what in the world are you trying to get out of it for? Be in God's will. Don't be in anybody else's will. You stay with God, and I guarantee you, you'll win. Go to 1 John chapter 4, and we'll wrap this up. So in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, it says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. When we start to understand God's love, when we start to understand the things of God and his love for us, there will be no fear in our lives because we know that God has destined so many greater things for us that whatever we're going through right now is just Satan trying to distract us. We'll know that the love of God will completely cast out every single fear we have in our life. Something that we all need to base every single one of our decisions and thoughts on are the fact that we need to understand that God is a good God and he only wants the best for you. When we start having a distorted view of God is when we start to doubt his word, when we start to doubt the things about him. God's word and his grace mean that we don't have to fear, we don't have any reason to fear, because we don't have to fear anything any longer because God's already paid the price. It's not that your sin doesn't have to have a price paid. It's not that other people's sin doesn't have to have a price paid. It's that it's already been paid. It has already been paid. So let's just leave with this last verse in verse 18 again. Actually, we'll do two. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. You'll put God in its right in his right place because he loved you. And he wants you and he wants a relationship with you. So I just urge you and I just want to, you know, exhort you guys in a manner that says you don't have any reason to fear anything in this world when you're seeking the word of God and when you're seeking God's will and putting God in his proper place in your life. When you do that, he said, if you seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, he says, all these things will be added unto you. He'll take care of the things that this world worries about if you take care of his kingdom. If you take care of what he has called you to do, he will take care of every worry that you could ever have in this life. Whether it be health or money or wherever you live, whatever the case might be, He will take care of it. There is no reason for us to fear. And don't fear men in a way that keeps you from sharing your testimony with other people. Don't be timid, don't be shy, because that is not God. If you're shying away, that is Satan getting you to not share the word of God. Because God has given you a spirit of boldness. So the power, love, and a sound mind. So powerful people are not shy or timid, right? Amen. So don't be shy, don't be timid. Let's just bow our heads real quick. Father, I thank you that you have given us your spirit. You have given us the spirit, the Holy Spirit, Father, that is our deposit of your word and of your gift and of your love, Father, in our hearts, that you would reveal all things to us. I thank you that you will help us to be mindful to not fear anything that Satan tries to bring upon us, but only fear and only put God in his proper place in our lives, because when we do that, all other things will fall into place. I thank you, Lord, for it. I ask that you would just bless us here tonight, Father, just with a fresh anointing and a fresh revelation of your grace and goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.